Welcome in, everyone, to episode one of the AL Recruiting Power 5 podcast. We got a new format that we're excited about. We ask all of our guests 5 questions, and we get to hear information about recruiting from some of the brightest minds from around the country. And tonight, for our first guest, is we have the Assistant Director of Player Personnel from the Missouri Tigers, Coach Malcolm Askew. Coach, so glad that you're on the show with us tonight.
Yes, sir. I'm glad to be here. It's an honor to be on. You know, like we said, our relationship goes back far, you know, and I was getting recruited. So it's an honor to be on, and I thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, we'll just jump right into it, Coach. And with our 5 questions, the first question that we have is we want to hear a little bit behind the scenes, behind the curtain, is what is your best, what is your funniest recruiting story that you have?
So I was on a recruiting visit at Auburn University, and if anybody knows me, that's where I ended up going, and that's the school I ended up choosing. But so that weekend that I was actually there, it was a big annual weekend that they have with all the recruits, all their top recruits, and me and my mom and family, little sister and dad, were all on a golf cart, and we were driving, and we were going on a tour, and my mom had hopped off for a second, and the guy who was hosting us had pulled off, and she kind of fell on the ground. And you know, our family is a goofy family, so we kind of laughed and joked around about it. But at the end of the day, Auburn got my commitment on that day. So it's just something we've always joked about with the staff and that was there at the time. And that's just always a memory that we'd always have of that day and how that happened and unfolded.
Well, that sealed the deal, man. Well, man, I appreciate that. Just kind of giving us a little backstory. And I know Auburn fans are going to love to hear that. But kind of as we move into the serious part of the show, where we do answer questions for recruits and different ideas, and different people are going to have different things that are important. So what would you, as somebody who's in the position you're in, what would you tell a high school player or high school recruits that want to play college football?
You know, I would tell them, like people have asked me this question numerous times when I was a high school recruit, when I was getting recruited, and until this day, you know, people still ask me. But I would say, go to camps, get your name, get your face, get your attributes in front of as many eyes as you can. It's going to take sacrifices. When I was in high school, you know, I like video games. I like doing different things. I like shoes or whatever. But I sacrificed those things, and I told my parents for my birthdays and for Christmas that I wanted to save up money to go to youth camps, to go to wherever I could to put my talents on display, or to just, you know, if it truly means something to you, you want to make all the efforts in the world to make it happen. And as many weekends as you can get to get in front of a college coach or get in front of anybody, whether it's a local combine, you never know who might see you. And with jobs always interchanging, coaches will always be at different schools. And if a coach sees you at one school, he might be at another school the next year. So I would just say, get in front of as many coaches as you can. Also, when I was getting into a 7-on-7 was a big thing for the skilled players. And that was something that kind of took the turn of the AAU football per se. Because, you know, you have AAU basketball, you have travel baseball. Those have always been around. But the 7-on-7 circuit and 7-on-7 tournaments have become a popular thing. And I think those are extremely important when it comes to getting recruited, because we look at those things. We look at all the rivals camps and all those type of things. We look at the top performers. We look at who tests well at those. We look at every single thing from those camps and combines. So if you can afford that, if you can sacrifice to get to those things and get your name out there, and as many times as somebody sees your name, that's as many more opportunities you can to earn a scholarship or to get your name on somebody's radar or somebody's prospect list to help your chances of getting, you know, to the next level and playing ball at any university. So,
man, that is awesome info for recruits that should be listening to this. So, let me ask you this, like when you think about you know, advice to players, but what advice would you give to parents who, if their kids are going through the process? Because I always say this, coaches go through this process all the time. Most families never go through it, or if they do, it's only one or two times, maybe.
Right. I think as parents, you also have to kind of know your kid, know what their ability is, and take advice from coaches that are giving you, say your local high school coach is giving you, you know, advice on what camps he thinks your son may go to or what level your son is able to perform at. A coach is going to know. I mean, they're not going to sit here and say, oh, your son can go play SEC ball when he can't play SEC ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you're a guy that your coach is telling you, hey, these schools are asking about you, some lower tier schools are asking about you, go to those camps. Go to the camps that coaches are actually interested in you and are actually wanting to see you perform. Don't continue to go to bigger camps. Even me, as I was getting recruited, I had big offers, but even when I had big offers, I still went to local. I went to the smaller schools. I went to UAB's camps. I went to Jacksonville State camp. I went to Sanford's camp. I went to I still went to those places and I still took visits there, even though I had bigger offers, because at the end of the day, a verbal offer is just a verbal offer until you get to the end of your recruitment process and you have something on paper. So I would just say for parents, don't always look at bigger schools. Go to the smaller schools, camp there, get in front, take visits there. If a coach is asking you to come to camp at a smaller school and a coach is not asking you to come to a camp at a bigger school, then you need to take that invite to the smaller school. And awesome. I think that whole thing just gets bought up because so many people want to go to big schools, but you have to go somewhere where people are actually trying to, you know, look at you and possibly offer you a scholarship.
Absolutely. So, you know, I think there's so much new information about the NIL. It's new. It's recruiting process. It's using it as new. So, you know, as somebody who's in this job every day, what do you think players specifically that are being recruited now, high school players, what do they need to know about the NIL and how it affects them and recruiting?
I think when we talk about NIL, it's such a broad thing now, because not only is it affecting high school recruits, it's affecting the current players who are at colleges and also looking to transfer to other schools to try to make more money and endorse themselves or whatever. But also, I think when you talk about NIL and recruits coming out, that they need to know that each state is different with NIL rules. Mm. It's not so Missouri NIL deals and the things that we're allowed to do here may not be the same in Oklahoma. It might not be the same in Texas. It's not the same rule. So everybody's rules are different in each state as far as NIL goes. So if you see somebody making such and such in California and you're like, well, I need to go out to California and play, as opposed to someone in the South or somebody in another state making a certain amount of money, then you have to look at those type of deals, because it's so much that goes into it. But I think when you get recruited and you're talking about NIL, I don't think that should be the main focus, because regardless, if someone thinks, if a collective at a school is thinking about paying you or somebody thinking about endorsing you, you still have to perform on the field. And me coming from playing and NIL had just gotten started when I was leaving, contracts and endorsements are all year to year. Nothing is solidified, because they know you're a college athlete and they know that at any point in time, you can either, you know, you can get injured or whatnot, or you could transfer from that school. So they're not going to continue to give you money and sign you to a contract that's going to last 4 or 5 years. You're not going to sign to a multi-year type deal. NIL is going to be year to year in most cases, because that's just how it's set up with these young people, these young kids making money like that. So don't think you're, oh, I'm going to go to a school, I'm going to sign a 5-year NIL deal and I'll make this money every year. No, it's not that. You won't. That's not how it's going to work. And in most cases, when I left Auburn, if you don't perform, money can decrease, money can increase based on your performance. So it's not something that's just guaranteed. NIL is not something that's just, you're going to get money and now it's solidified and now I can get it for the rest of my time in college. It can be taken away from you at any time, in any moment. So,
man, that's good info. And I hadn't really sat down and heard somebody talk that much about that. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. And it's so much more to it.
Yeah.
But you know, I just don't want kids to solely look at NIL, because it's this college football world has gotten crazy with, especially with the portal and so much going on. I just focus on school and ball, and NIL to come based on your play and how you're performing. So
absolutely. Well, question number 5 is really about your faith, and it's you know how it affects you. And I see it pinned. You have a pinned tweet, and you have Proverbs 16:3. It's commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. Tell us about how your faith guides you in coaching, in your career, and in your life, Coach.
Well, my faith is at the forefront of my life. God's my everything. That's what, you know, I thank him every day when he blesses me to see another 24 hours, you know, because we can get caught up in our day-to-day life and what's going on, especially being in the football world. You're always busy, but if you can't take the time out to thank him for everything that's happening in your life, and especially for me, I've had a lot going on, and I'm very blessed and fortunate to have gotten a full scholarship, played SEC ball, now I'm working in football. You know, I was blessed to get 2 degrees at Auburn. So at the end of the day, I'm always express my faith, and I'm always talk about the Lord, because he's given me everything and I've got, you know, and my family, we're a big Christian family, big faith driven. And so I think if that had would ever come a problem with anyone, then I wouldn't be in this career. I would end it to this day if someone told me I couldn't express my faith. You know, so that won't ever change for me. And that's what I do this for, is to impact lives and to impact as many people that come across me in a positive way, and let them know, you know, that's what my heart is, and that's where I come from, and that's what I stand by, especially if I'm reaching out to a player or reaching out to a recruit and letting them know, you know, if someone has to ask questions of how I achieve what I achieved, it was all God. It's all driven by God. This job, everything in my past, all of that I've accomplished is all at the hands of him. So that's something that I always take with me, and it'll always be the main priority and the main thing. So
amen, Coach, man. Appreciate you standing up for the Lord. I appreciate how you're using this to impact kids. And that's what we want to do with AL Recruiting. That's our long-term goal. For anybody watching, that's what we're about, is helping students and helping people achieve their dreams, but also know the Lord. And that's why we started this podcast, is to have fun, to know, help kids, but also just hear about what God's doing in the lives of people around the country. But, man, appreciate you. And good luck.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you for having me, and I enjoyed it.